Oh, hi, my name's James. I'm just gonna tell you one thing, maybe two, before I start, is that I'll say something, and I don't know, maybe it's the way it's worded, but when I like something that I say, I start to cry. But it's just tears, it's not like I'm emotionally crying. So, if you see that, don't cry with me. I'm not actually crying. I was born into a life of coincidence, I guess you could say. And for the longest time, I wasn't fully sure of what that meant. What I mean is, things will happen to me, and I'm not sure why they happen. So, I'll just push them aside. And that's been my whole life, up until now. For example, when I was 2, my brother died, and I don't see how this has happened to everyone, and I for sure don't know why it happened to me, so I just filed that under coincidences and left it like that until my whole life, up until now. Now, death has this weird effect on people. Oftentimes, it'll leave your life like a bag of air. You're like, what's a bag of air? I'll tell you what a bag of air is. You'll go into the grocery store. You'll go down the aisles. You'll be looking. You spot one. You pick it off the shelf, pay for it, open it up, and air. And then there's a few chips at the bottom. So you know, I'll know what I'm talking about, right? Chip companies, they rip us off. So yeah, what I meant by that is oftentimes death will leave people with a hole in their life. And we try and fill it with stuff around us just to make our lives better. Who fills those gaps? And how do we find what we need to fix those gaps so we can move on with our lives? Well, no one really tells you that. You kind of got to figure it out for yourself. So in my life, the death of my brother left me with a hole, and I needed to fill it. And I wasn't sure where I'd be if I didn't. So, to start off, I don't know what I was thinking when I was younger, but I was a bad child. And you know, the classic bad child. I was a terrible sibling to my sisters. I was disobedient, rude. Oh, shoot. So yeah, growing up from grade 3 to 6, a little bit of 7, it was that whole terrible child. Grade 3, I was in the principal's office almost every day. Up until grade 6, I hung out with some bad people and we did bad stuff. Grade 7 wasn't nearly like that, but that's because it was middle school, a transition year. I was kind of adjusting to how many more people I saw in my life. And after that, I wasn't really a bad person anymore. I realized that treating people like garbage wasn't exactly filling any holes in my life. So I stopped with that. I know in grade 9, it was all about the ladies. I thought a relationship could fill that hole in my life, which I guess would be correct if it had been a true godly relationship. But my first girlfriend wasn't Christian, and I wasn't that knowledgeable on good relationships, per se, except for the expected hold the door for her and pay for her stuff and everything like that, which I did. And a lot more, actually. My first relationship would have turned out great had it not been for my Incredible Hulk personality. Yeah, I had some anger issues. And we broke up after 2 weeks. But that was for a different reason. We were both going to Greece for a math trip in our math class, and I couldn't explain it to myself or others, but I just said it was because I didn't want to have to not be with her so much. So after that trip, we got back together, and then 3 months later, we broke up again. And that was because I made her so mad she wanted to punch me, and I just had anger issues anyways, so we were both really angry. Now, on to grade 10. This is where the story gets interesting. This is 2 years ago, and you're probably thinking how fast my mind can change, going through one girlfriend to the next, and all that stuff, different transitions in my life, but I don't actually have ADD or OCD, but I think a lot of people think I do, because I can't stop moving. You can notice that right now. I'm just a very active person. But yeah, it was the beginning of school, and after cadet camp that summer, and I had no friends. I didn't want to go back to the group of friends in grade 6, because they were still kind of bad people. And I don't think my ex's group would have accepted me. So I went home for lunch every day and ate at home. Don't cry. Even I don't feel bad for myself, because I needed it. I got rid of my anger issues. That was good. Now, it was November, and I was coming to church, and my dad was on sound, but I'm not actually sure. And I walked in those doors, and I looked over, and there was this girl standing there. And I was like, who's that? And at first, I honestly didn't think she was that attractive. She's actually in the service today, so I'm probably going to get hit after this. But I'm fine with that. And you know what? She actually told me when she first saw me, she thought I was 12. So I was 15 at the time. It might have been because I had just shaved my ginormous beard. I thought my dad would have laughed the hardest at that. He didn't. So when we were leaving, my father was talking to her father, and we left. I said goodbye, and I walked out the door, and I looked at her, and she gave me with a smile that I couldn't really tell what she was thinking, but I knew it wasn't because she liked me. It was just a, hey, I don't know you kind of smile. And our families are actually quite similar, actually. Both our families moved here from Abbotsford. Her and I both attended the same elementary school, but she left the year I started to attend. Excuse me. Her siblings, like mine, are both spread 2 years apart, which I'm getting all this from my mother when we're in the truck. And putting this together in my head, I realized we're the same age. And by this time, you're all able to put together what I was thinking. I want to date this girl, which for a while didn't work. I attended a youth banquet that my mom said she was attending. That was okay. We talked once. After that, things got a little bit harder. I friended her on Facebook and started talking to her. It's really weird. I just don't know how to speak to girls really well. I used to. Now I'm a ladies' man. So yeah, eventually we started talking more frequently. I asked her out for a date on Valentine's Day. 4 days later was my birthday, and then 3 days after that, I asked her out, and we were dating. Now I'm just gonna leave that there. Long story short, we broke up. After a while, I became very out of the loop with things, and I still am. Everything just flies by my head. She starts seeing this other guy, which I found out when I had her and a few friends over. At first, I was very jealous, and so I told her right away, because I was, like, feeling bad about it. So we got that sorted out. Now, this is where things went downhill. My mother, she was picking me up from work, and we were driving home, and we were listening to Sirius Christian Radio. And a song came on. For those of you who don't know the song, it's called Jesus in Disguise by Brandon Heath. It talks about how things happen in your life and you don't know why, and you expect God to be big and powerful and show up in your life that is significant and that you know it's Him. But in reality, you would never recognize Him if He did. I mean, He sent His Son as a baby boy. What more can you expect? It says in the song, you were looking for a king, but you would never recognize Jesus in disguise. Which is entirely true. I was looking for a sign from the heavens saying, this is your girl, chase after her, which I'm not sure if I did or not that night, but at that point in time, I was sure of it. And I've always known myself to be impatient, so was everyone else. So I jumped to it, and I ambushed her with clinginess, which I realized soon after is not a good thing to do. She got very angry. Now, I'm going to skip ahead 2 years, a year or two. It would be technically 2 years. Anyways, New Year's Eve of 2013. I had a calling from God. He was telling me that 2014 is going to be a year of awakening for a generation that sleeps. This awakening will come slowly, but without delay and without ceasing. He told me that my generation was that chosen generation that everyone talks about, saying, raise young warriors of God. And I didn't believe him at first, but I realized I should have, because what I know now gives me no doubt that he was ever wrong. I mean, he's God. He's never wrong. The group of friends I joined when I was in grade 10, whom so far have become my closest friends, and I can't thank them enough for being exceptional and all they do, we're not as close as we once were. Now that we're all graduated, most of us will be going off to college and university. Only a select few are staying in town. I've seen many relationships end this year. And there's a lot of things that would only really be well explained to me because it's only happened in my life. So to tell you guys, you'd be like, well, I don't really get that. But a lot of things have got me wondering why. What about our generation makes others behind us, or even if they came before us, like last year? And there are other things too, but they'd only make sense to me because it's only in my life that they happened. I'm also just forgetting a lot of them, so. Yeah, I was baptized in freezing water, which I'm sure is something no one wants to feel. But honestly, the feeling was so refreshing, and it awoke my heart to everything God has called me to be. So when my brother died, I needed something to fill that hole. I needed something or someone that could take me up from the deepest ocean and place me above the waves, show me everything that I've been missing. Excuse me. Few of you know this, but I'm a writer. I've written 2 books. The third is in the process of being written, but I'm getting to the end eventually. And one thing I've learned to do as a writer, it's a neat skill actually, is disguise someone. One thing I've done is go as long as I can through a chapter without saying someone's name, just using pronouns like he, she. And it's even cooler when you don't introduce other people too. Because when they're in different groups, you can tell who it is just by seeing who they're with. So I like to try and go as long as I can without doing that. And one thing I've done, something I try to do more than anything else within my writing, is disguise God. And what I mean by that is not cover him, but translate him. Give him a name that's foreign to others. And within my world, he does actually have a different name, but that's because it's in a different language. But the whole trilogy is about love, and love defeating the enemy, and how people wouldn't realize it, but without love, they couldn't defeat the enemy. And that's the big thing in my books. And by now, I know one person has already figured out what I'm talking about, but that's because I've told them already. But when you hear me say love, I mean God. And one thing I emphasize and that I'm big on is the fact that God is love. It says so in the Bible. 1 John 4, verse 8, it says, but anyone... Oh, I should be doing this. Ah, this is so cool. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Well, now you're wondering why I brought this up. You see, that whole time in my life when I thought I needed a relationship or to take my anger out on other people and ruin their lives, I was looking for the wrong something. There was something I needed more than anything, and that something was love. Now, what is love? What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, I've had multiple people tell me love isn't easy. And I've never heard a bigger lie. Now, hear me out. I'm sounding very hypocritical right now because it is hard to love someone, but loving is easy. Hating is easier. But what people find hard is the choice. We all know this, but God gave us the power of free will. He gave us a choice to love Him and to love others. And without that choice, there is no love. Love requires a choice. Love requires sacrifice and dedication. Love is not something you can achieve overnight. It takes time. Love, when used correctly, is the most powerful weapon to fend off the enemy, and it will not fail. In John, the Gospel, it talks about the beginning. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. Or my favorite translation of the verse is, or the darkness has not understood it. Now, to go deeper into this, let me just review the first few verses of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you catch that? You're all like, what? I'll read the first few lines again. Maybe we'll catch it if you didn't already. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. How about now? What is John talking about? John is talking about Jesus. If you look to the notes up there, you'll see that the word is capitalized. And as a writer, we only do that when we're speaking about a name or a place. And also, start of verse 2, it says, He was with God. I don't know about you, but words aren't normally given a gender. They're just words. So, John was talking about Jesus. And the whole book is just about Jesus, basically. I'll read it again. This time, I translated it to make it more clear. It says, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has never understood light and why it can't defeat light. Light is Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus is God. Light comes from God, and God is all-powerful. How powerful? Check out His Son, Jesus. There we go. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping with a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Guess. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey Him. That is the power of love. Unconditional, relentless, and unstoppable love that not even darkness can surpass in strength. Throughout my life, I've tried to hold back love and fill that hole with nonsense and things that would only make my life worse. I believe that it's time for love to take over. Many people in this world have lived by the world for so long. Even most Christians still don't follow or live the way God or Jesus lived. War has become something that we do when we disagree with someone. We'll fight them because we think we're right. Monopoly, I'll give it this. Monopoly can tear apart families. But that's because you, like, join sides with someone else and then team up. But war shouldn't get that chance. Envy shouldn't get that chance. Nor should lust, greed, gluttony, anger, self-righteousness, pride, suicide, wrath. I could go down a list, an endless list of things that could tear apart a family, but I'm not. Because I want to tell you one thing that can keep a family together, and I'm sort of guaranteeing I'll get an amen after I say this, but that one thing is love. Yes. Okay. Job completed. Now, if there's one thing I've learned throughout my life and my struggles, it's this. In the trials, through the pain, and through the shame and regrets, in the deepest, darkest part of night, filled with darkness, even more darkness, and sorrow, there is hope, and there is love. And you can't stop love. Quite frankly, you should never try. How many of you want to know love in a greater way? How many of you want to love others? Unfortunately, with most people, it's either one or the other. But in God's eyes, it should be both every second of the day. That choice to love stands in our way. Who's ready for that sacrifice? Who's ready to surrender their life to love others? I've heard God call me to speak in front of others for a long time, but every time I tried, fear got in the way. I was told I wasn't good enough. I wasn't ready. I wasn't worthy. I was told I'll never be the man that God called me to be. My name is James because I am a supplanter. Supplanter is someone who takes over authority or ownership of something after someone retires from that position or dies. This term was normally used with princes in relation to kings from different families. There's a song I listened to that I've actually become rather addicted to, and it's called Spark by City Harmonic. In the song, it asks, could a spark of your love, God's love, light a fire in me? Could a spark of God's love set the whole church on fire? Now this next line, I think the version I made up is better, even though it doesn't make any sense. But the lyrics go like this, and I only made it this way is because it rhymed. But the song says, when we care for our neighbors more than we care for style. I mean, who cares about style here? Not me. I think how I thought the line went was way better, so I'm going to stick with it. But I'll explain it because it makes no sense. The new and improved lyrics are, when we care for our neighbor more than we care to starve. That doesn't make any sense. But what I mean is, would you give up your meal for someone who doesn't have one? So, like, when we care for our neighbor more than we care to eat. But that doesn't rhyme. So, but would you give up your meal for someone who doesn't have one? Answer honestly, would you? Because I wouldn't. It would be a struggle. I'd at least take a piece of broccoli. because you can't go wrong with tiny miracle trees. So to end this off, I'd like to point to two quotes that sum up how to make the transition from living life like any normal human to living a life for God and no one else. Well, yeah. Living a life completely out of love. I've said it before, and hopefully most of you remembered it, because it's vital that you remember this key piece of information. The first is a quote from the TV series The Office. It's by far my favorite quote, even though the man who said it doesn't live by it. He just said it because, well, he said it. It explains the reason why I don't stop seeking God. It's because God never stops seeking me. It's this. It's that you can't stop love. And quite frankly, you should never try. Don't try and shut love out, because it's a struggle in itself when it doesn't have to be. You will fight more having to hold out love rather than fighting back against evil. Believe me, I've had years of experience. Secondly, and this is my favorite verse in the Bible, besides 1 John 4 verse 8. This comes from, I have it here. It comes from Hebrews 12:1. It says, "Therefore, seeing as we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." I'd just like to close in prayer, so if you want to bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you gave us choices. Thank you for the hard ones, the easy ones, narrow ones, the wide ones, the ones where we don't see the ending, and the ones where we wish the end was near. Thank you for everything that brings us closer to you in our faith. Today I pray that you would light that spark in our hearts. I pray that love would overcome. Not just in our families, but in our communities, in this nation, this world, awaken the generations that sleep. Awaken our hearts to love others. Awaken our hearts to love. Let love pour out. Don't let it stop. Don't slow it down. Continue to increase your love. Flood the earth with your love, God. Flood our hearts with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.